Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
+51,000 on their feet. Nobody's left to beat the traffic tonight, I guarantee you. Mark gets the sign. The wind and the pitch, here it is. One fly ball deep left center. Grissom on the run. Yes! Atlanta Braves have given you a championship.
25 lighters on my dresser. Yes, sir. You know I got to get paid.
Now get ready. This is the Platinum Sombrero Podcast with your hosts, Dylan Short and Adam Doc Herbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 107 of the Platinum Sombrero Podcast. This is Doc Herbert, and with me, as always, is Dylan Short. We will hear from Dylan very shortly, but before we do, just wanted to remind you that the Platinum Sombrero Podcast is brought to you, as always, by Armchair Media, as well as being brought to you by Simply Safe. With home security, there's two ways you can go about protecting your home. You can call a feeble-minded technician to do a messy installation that is going to cost you a small fortune, or there's the Simply Safe way. Simply Safe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection. It's a two-time winner of the CNET Editor's Choice Award. It will give you cameras and doorbells to alert you to anyone approaching your home from the outside. And from the inside, you've got entry sensors, glass break sensors, and motion sensors. You barely notice when it's there. The best news about this is you can install it all yourself within an hour. There's no trade-off for your safety. You'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice. And it's only 50 cents a day, which is pretty fantastic. And considering the amount of time that you are going to be home for the foreseeable future, you should probably invest in your home security. So, go to simplysafe.com/team. That's simplisafe.com/team, no I in team, and you will get your free shipping and 60-day risk-free trial. Got nothing to lose. Go now, simplysafe.com/team. Once again, that is simplysafe.com/team. Okay, so, Dylan, I think that the real burning question here is, how is your quarantine going? Because if there's anything that everybody in the United States has in common right now, it's that we can't freaking go anywhere. So how have you spent the past couple of days? When was the last time you left your house?
Well, I've actually been at work through most of it. I'll work again Friday, and then that'll be my last day for a while. But I can't complain. I mean, yesterday, if you guys are following me on Twitter or anything, then you guys know that I had my 20-week ultrasound last week that I got to me and my wife got to go do our ultrasound where we see our child, and yesterday was good. There's nothing bad I can say about yesterday. Even in the span of everything that's been going wrong, yesterday was a good day. It was one of the days that I will remember for the rest of my life. As for the rest of it, man, I haven't gone locked into quarantine. I mean, I'm a hermit anyway, so I don't really go anywhere once I get home to begin with. But starting next week, I think things are going to kind of get a little cabin fever a little bit, knowing that for the foreseeable future, I will be stuck at home. So ask this question again in a week, and I might have a different answer for you. What about you?
I mean, I've been working from home since 2013, so I've been kind of practicing for this for like a decade. And, you know, my wife, you know, her work has mandatory work from home now. So the capacity or the attendance in my office has actually doubled over the last week. So it's been great. I actually get some human interaction, which is, I've had a couple of people reach out to me and say, how do you do this all the time? I'm like, I don't know. I guess you just get used to it.
Just a superstar. I'm just a superstar.
I mean, there were some dark days on the way to me getting used to this. I mean, and I haven't started my car since Sunday. You know, most of the time, since I don't have a commute to work, the only place I really go is the gym and the grocery store. And the gym has cut its capacity. I'm amazed that it's still open. But, you know, been working out from home and just trying to, you know, avoid it where I can. Better safe than sorry. And I know that there's people everywhere that probably think it's preposterous, but you never know, especially with something that's got this like, shadow incubation period like this whole thing does. So better safe than sorry, I guess. But it does bring up some really interesting questions about the future, not just of the country, but in particular in the scope of this show for sports. Because, I mean, it's not just that baseball's not on. I mean, baseball already wasn't hardly on at all, but now there's NCAA tournament going on, and there's at least some type of diversion to help get through. But now a buddy of mine called me on Sunday morning, and he's like, there's not even golf on. You know, it's so bizarre, and it's bringing to mind so many different questions about what's going to happen and when things are going to wind up getting cranked back up. So at first it was going to be, we're going to push the start of opening day back 2 weeks. And like, okay, we can handle that. And then Manfred's like, yeah, whatever. That's not going to happen. So he had said mid-May, and then you start hearing from writers and people surrounding the game that it might be June, it might be July. There's so much waiting, you know, just, and the worst thing about this whole deal is the uncertainty. So at what point do you start to worry that the season is actually going to wind up getting canceled?
I mean, that's a very difficult question, and it's what I usually would be like, nah, there's no way they're going to cancel. But you start talking where it's starting to look more and more like you might just skip the entire first half of the season. And if that's the case, you start talking about play. If you want to play a full season's worth of baseball, you're going into November and December, in which case, obviously, the teams that play outside, like in the Midwest and up north, if they play outside, they're not going to be able to play there. You're going to have to play in different stadiums. So there's a lot of logistics that you have to bring into play when you're talking about just move the season down. I'm starting to think that we'll see it after what would have been the All-Star break and just play the second half of the season and roll from there.
I think you're probably right. And one thing that baseball does have is that the season, even for enthusiasts like us, the season takes forever, it feels like sometimes. So even if you wind up shaving 80 games off or, you know, then it's still the exact same amount of time or the amount of games that hockey and basketball have. So there's still plenty of time to narrow down who the best teams are. You know, it's just going to be, I wonder what do you do with the trade deadline at that point? Because you have no time to assess your team. You'll always hear GM saying, well, we want to wait till it's a little closer to the trade deadline so we can really figure out, you know, where the needs are on this team. Well, if they wind up starting it right after the All-Star break, then you're looking at, say, I don't know, July 15th or somewhere around there. So you got 2 weeks. You know, I hope nobody gets hurt. There has been talk about changing the trade deadline to August 15th to be in between what was the non-waiver deadline and the waiver deadline, and they have, but no traction has ever come from that. So what do you do at that? There's so many questions that come along with this. Like, what about service time? What about any of the young guys that are going to wind up going into arbitration? How is this going to wind up affecting them? What about any of the one-year players like Ozuna and Hamels? Do we get them for 2021? Are there, if the season gets canceled? You know, what is happening? This is, the uncertainty is just the worst part. If I knew the answer to any of these questions, it would be one thing, but it's just, what's going on?
Dude, it's really, really weird. And I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to have a one month trade deadline window. Like, if you start on July 15th and trade deadline is August 15th, then that's it. I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult. It's the right thing to do. I mean, limiting crowds, it is the right thing to do. All the sports are handling it like they're supposed to. Can't get mad at them for it, because really it's what everybody should be doing. But it does leave a very large hole in you. And it kind of goes back to one of those shows a few episodes ago where I was talking about how we don't really view sports figures as people. it's times like these that you really start to notice it, because in times of national crisis or national uncertainty, everybody flocks to sports because that is everyone's escape. Well, the problem is they're people, so they are at big risk of getting sick too. So if we're taking measures to ensure that people don't get sick, we can't just sit there and ask these guys to risk it just so we have something to watch while we're sitting at home. We're in a very unprecedented time, especially for people like my age group and really your age group too. There's really not been anything of this magnitude. Like, we've not had any sort of disease that has just curtailed everything and shut down the global economy. Like, SARS was a pretty big scare for people that were paying attention. Nobody remembers MERS, even though it had like a 30% mortality rate. Remember the swine flu H1N1? Remember how crazy that got? Like 151,000 people died. But we haven't had anything like, say, the Spanish flu, where basically everything was shut down, or when typhoid was running rampant, or tuberculosis was running across the world and everything was basically shut down. We've not had to deal with anything like this in our lifetimes. And it's a pretty big shock.
This isn't even generational. This is like a 100-year event. And we will, those of us who live through this, you know, we will tell our kids or grandkids about this, about how, you know, everything was in quarantine. I, for one, will wind up playing it up for sure, milking it for some type of sympathy for my grandkids or whatever. But it's nobody knows how to really react about this whole thing. And even when you get in a situation where, I mean, especially now where they're saying you can't have more than 10 people in a place at any given time, or it's bad practice to do so. Well, I mean, that certainly calls off any type of sports gathering. But even when you start expanding those numbers and say, okay, well, you can have like 100 people now. I mean, if you're going to wind up effectively running an entire baseball game, that's going to wind up, you know, you've got 26 people for each team, but that's just the uniformed members. And then you've also got like all of the coaches, and then you have to have some staff in there. So, I mean, until things get lax, I mean, we're just going to kind of be in the dark. And fret not, TPS listeners, we are going to keep the show going. We may have to get a little creative. We may have to get a little funky with our content over the next, over the next couple weeks, but we will be here to get you through this crisis, because even if you can't watch a game, you know, sometimes it's best to just pontificate on things. And, you know, the last Braves game was played in October, and we've just been just spitballing and pontificating and all these different things for 5 months. So, you know, what's 2-3 more months of doing basically the exact same thing? So, you know, stick with us through this difficult time.
Right. I wish we hadn't blown through our offseason material so quickly. It was foolish of us not to have backup plans. But we're sitting at this now where we're going to be scraping up for stuff. And guys, if you guys have something in particular that you just want to hear us talk about, feel free to send us a line. For sure, we are fully open to suggestions right now. We're going to keep bringing you shows every week, just like Locked On is still bringing you shows every day, try to make some sense of normalcy. Luckily, Doc and I are actually friends, so there always are things that we can talk about. Maybe not always things you guys want to hear about, but stuff that we'll talk about. Like, we can always turn into a music podcast or an overrated movies podcast. I mean, there's some things we could do. But just on the baseball train for a little bit, there's so many weird questions that are coming up because of this. Like, how is Marcell Ozuna and Cole Hamels going to be handled? Like, if baseball were to sit out for like a full year, let's say that the 2020 season doesn't happen and we just reset and go to 2021, is everybody that's under contract for 2020, like, does that year just essentially skip? Like, leap year means we just skip 2020, but everything still applies for 2021? How does that happen for minor league service time? Like, what are the ramifications of this?
Well, and to take it out of the Braves scope, you look at the Mookie Betts deal. You know, he got traded to LA because they were trying to get something of value for him, more so than they would get from a qualifying offer draft pick. And so they wound up swinging this deal. And so if 2020 doesn't happen, did the Red Sox just get Alex Verdugo and more for free and clear themselves of David Price? I mean, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea if that's going to wind up being the case. Like, you can make the case both ways where, you know, if you're the Dodgers, you know, I'm screaming bloody murder for the fact that this trade should be invalidated because, you know, we didn't wind up getting anything. But at the same time, that's not really Boston's fault. They didn't trade him knowing that Mookie would never play for Boston anyway. And what about, we'll just take some of the contracts that the Braves signed this offseason. Travis d'Arnaud, that was 2 years. Darren O'Day, that's another one that was 2 years. So does that just push back? Does it just run through, you know? And these are all questions that baseball has not really had to deal with. When you were dealing with labor stoppages, like in 1994, they stopped after 112 games, I think, and then they wound up getting 144 in 1995. So you're looking at a very, you know, that's 60-something games that you missed. That's slightly more than a third of a season. This is not something that was really on the table as much. And what about the collective bargaining agreement? That's set to expire at the end of next season. So is that just like a hard date, or is it 5 seasons from the end of the last one? Is anybody going to do any work on that? Well, there's no baseball happening. You know, they could have their focus being on fixing the parts of the game that they can actually fix in the meantime. So hopefully Tony Clark and Rob Manfred are talking a lot about ways to actually be proactive and taking care of a lot of this stuff, because this is a mess, dude. I just want baseball back. I remember how much time do you think you and I spent talking about whether or not the Braves should re-sign Josh Donaldson or trade for Chris Bryant, or if they don't do that, is it going to be Riley or Camargo, or all of these different things? And does any of it matter?
It's so crazy, because there was so much for every baseball fan, obviously, but for Braves fans and for the Braves team in particular, this was such a big year. There was so much like going into this season of writing what happened last year and getting back what happened, and you know, such a sense of determination about this. We're going to make this better than last year, and you just have to put it on hold again. Freddie Freeman said World Series or bust, and well, I guess he meant it a little bit more literally than we all might have hoped.
Right. And you look at the way that things ended. I think that is what's making it kind of worse for me, because I've been waiting to just wash that game off of me for 5 months. And who knows how much longer the most recent baseball memory that we all have is going to be the 10-run first inning. And that's not to say that it's any worse for Marlins fans who got eliminated in like early May of last year, or Rays fans or whatever, or any other team that's not located in the Southeast. But, you know, this is just hard. This whole thing is hard, and there's no other sport to turn to. Like, if the NFL winds up being the first one to come back, well, then, I mean, I haven't watched more than 15 minutes of football total since the end of Super Bowl 51, and if there's anything that could get me to be a football fan again, it's baseball just not existing for a calendar year.
I'm not used to this. There's always something on. Like, there's not even bowling right now. And you know what I'm talking about. Like, if I'm saying there's like that I would be willing to watch bowling or darts or even poker, like, there's just nothing. Like, and I understand. And again, I'm not saying that I'm angry that sports have taken a hiatus. They absolutely should, because in totality, it's not as important as people's lives, quite honestly. Just quite frankly, that's the case. No matter how much we love sports, it's not more important than somebody actually living or dying. So I'm fully on board with what they're doing. Just, I didn't know it was going to be this hard, man. I thought it was going to be easy.
It's just surreal.
There is some sort of baseball news if you want to talk about today. Doc, I don't know if you saw this since we've been on the phone for like 2 hours, but the Mississippi Braves are no longer the Mississippi Braves.
What? What are they?
They are now, and I know this is going to anger you when you hear this, they are the Mississippi Sweat.
The what? No, they're not.
The Yes.
You got to be kidding me. Are they really?
Go to Twitter right now. Go to the Mississippi Braves Twitter handle. The hat looks fantastic. The name, horrific. But the hat looks awesome. If you guys are fans of Avatar: The Last Airbender, it looks like a waterbender hat. It looks really awesome. But the name might be the dumbest name I've ever heard of.
What? Yeah, that's a bad hat. Okay, so the front of it's like, it's just a raindrop, or a comma for some reason, or a drop of sweat, I suppose. And then it says sweat on the side, and there appear to be little puddles of sweat beneath it. That's bad. The colors are excellent. Everything else about it is very bad.
Like, I would have called it like Mississippi Drip or something like that, because, you know, you got the Mississippi River right there, and young kids today use the word drip for everything, so at least that would have made some sense. Mississippi sweat. It's what? It's hot in Mississippi. All right, cool. I was not sure that we'd find something worse than like Gwinnett Stripers. Now I'm starting to think that they could have been in a much worse situation.
Well, and if you're also looking at some of the past couple of years have been really interesting for minor league team names, like, you know, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp and New Orleans Baby Cakes and the Rocket City Trash Pandas. And I mean,
which is just a raccoon, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like, if you, you know, the name Mississippi Sweat is like, it sounds like a cocktail, right? But it's like, it's, like not one you'd ever want to have, like a cement mixer or something like that. I don't think I mind the name as much. How long have I known about this? Maybe like a minute and a half. I don't mind the name as much, but just the, I hated Stripers too at first. So, if they were going to change it, I wish they would have gone to something absolutely preposterous. This.
Oh, hold on. I'm reading the tweet here. Looks like I didn't read everything. This is the official tweet from Embraves, from @Embraves. When baseball returns, we'll be doing a lot of sweating at the ballpark. Thus, we give you the Mississippi Sweat AA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves for one night only.
I'm going to cut this whole segment out.
Keep it in, because this is something worth talking about here.
Oh, man.
Because you know they're going to change the name, because that's just the way that minor leagues are doing. Everybody is, and you did a good job bringing up like the Trash Pandas and everything. That's kind of the way that all minor league affiliates are going. Weren't the Altoona Curve one of the first ones to kind of do that? To like go away from being the same name as their parent team? It's one of those things that I know they usually do the name through like fan votes and everything like that to kind of make fans feel like they're a little bit more involved in the minor league day-to-days and to get more people to go out to the ballparks. I will say that color scheme is fantastic. I just hope against all hope that name does not become permanent.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. I'm glad that we didn't just start telling people just for weeks and weeks and weeks that the name of the team is going to change. I feel like there would have been some type of tease or some type of rumblings.
I don't know. It does bring up an interesting point, though, about minor league teams, how they are going to much more lighthearted names. I mean, I do kind of like that, to be honest. Like, I like that they're doing more lighthearted names and that the fans get a real say in this. There's basically no way you're ever going to change a major league team's name, ever. Because there's too much money behind it and there's too much history behind the name. But minor league teams, being able to change minor league teams' names like that, that's kind of cool. I do enjoy that.
It wasn't that long ago when it went from the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, which is what their team name was for, you know, around a decade or so.
From their inception.
Yeah, from their, they were originally called the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and then they were that for like a decade, and then they turned into just the Tampa Bay Rays, which actually, you know, Florida, Rays of Sunshine, it and then you also still have the actual, like, array. That makes a lot of sense. But even doing something like that, it's like a full-on complete rebranding and colors and everything. And there's been a lot of talk about changing the name of the Cleveland Indians. And even the Braves are kind of on the periphery of that. I think that there would be a riot if something like that actually wound up happening. But you're right. Like, even doing, like, a logo rebranding, like, not using Chief Wahoo anymore and going to like the plain C, which is a good looking logo, but everybody still knows it's for the Indians. Changing the actual name of the team.
I mean, we still call it, it's still the Oakland A's. They still haven't changed their name to the Oakland Elephants, despite the fact that their mascot is an elephant for some reason.
So is University of Alabama, right? Roll Tide.
Yeah, but yeah. That's right. Like, neither one of those, like, A's, elephant does not start with A, so I don't know why the Oakland Athletics are represented by one of the most unathletic animals on the earth. What, you couldn't find a giraffe?
Me? No, I could not find a giraffe. I don't know.
Like, could you imagine that, the Oakland Longnecks, and it's just a giraffe as their mascot?
I could go for that, but that's the thing. They're not going to wind up changing that, but if, like, I think Modesto is one of their teams, if they want to become the Modesto Giraffes, by all means, get somebody who's got a couple of pencils, draw us up a new logo, we'll put it on a hat, we'll sell it either for a promotional night, or, you know, we'll just change the name outright to that.
I kind of understand why you don't end up rebranding, like, teams. I wonder how big, like, a nostalgia factor plays into things like that, because it's kind of hard for a game like baseball that's so reliant on nostalgia and going across generations of fandom. To just change names, you kind of change experiences when you do that. Like, you don't see many people talk about Milwaukee Braves to Atlanta Braves, or Boston Bean Eaters or Atlanta Cracker Jacks to Atlanta Braves. It tends to be with the same name is where the memories kind of coalesce.
People love continuity. You know, people come to love their traditions, even if the traditions don't make sense sometimes. Like, you look at changing the name from the Gwinnett Braves to the Gwinnett Stripers. I kind of think that the reason that they gave for that was kind of ridiculous, but it gives you a chance to establish new memories based around something new. You know what I mean? Still,
yeah,
and attaching positive memories to a similar but inherently different type of idea.
That's true, and keeping in that theme, one of the things that helps when you keep the same name back and forth is when we say things like a player's name, like say I say Jason Hayward, automatically you think of that moment, the first at bat, the 3-run homer off Carlos Zambrano. You think of the Chip Carey call, and you think of Atlanta Braves. Like if the Braves were now all of a sudden, you know, say the Atlanta, I don't know, make up a name, whatever, say Atlanta Stripers instead of Atlanta Braves, that would change the way that we remember or the feelings that get evoked when we say certain team names and even certain players' names. Like when you say Hank Aaron, or when we say Hank Aaron, do you think of Hank in his Milwaukee Braves time, or do you think of Hank as his Atlanta Braves time? Most of us, if you're old enough to remember Hank Aaron, which I am not, most everybody assumes like Atlanta. That's why when the topic comes up for Chipper Jones or Hank Aaron, who's the best Atlanta Brave of all time, they'll say Chipper because he was always an Atlanta Brave, and that's kind of their out. Once you start changing the names of everybody, you got to go through Babe Ruth was technically with like towards the Atlanta team, I think. Wasn't he a Boston Bean Eater at one point?
I think it was Boston Braves, same franchise, but yeah, they changed from the Bean Eaters by that point.
But yeah, he was with the Braves, and that's like nobody thinks of Babe Ruth as a Brave because it wasn't the Atlanta Braves. It's, you know, a Boston Braves, and we all think of as Boston Red Sox. And team names have a powerful emotion attached to them. And I think brandings can get a little tricky because you can't get too hokey or it's going to mess things up. But even if you change all the color schemes and change the way that the mascot looks, changing the name just kind of has a sense of finality to it that I don't think we'll ever really see from professional teams.
You look at a team like the Expos, right? This team, you know, they became the Washington Nationals. For the record, I'm wearing a Montreal Expos shirt right now. Not because of the Nationals, but because I grew up, I loved like the fleur-de-lis logo. I love the color scheme. I loved everything about it. And ever since they left, you're kind of looking at an entire contingent of people that want to bring back the Expos. They want to put another franchise back in Montreal. The way that things ended up there were very unsavory, but at the same time, people have so many memories associated with that, and it was 2005 was the Nationals' last season, or the Nationals' first season, so 2004 was the last Expos season. So it's been a decade and a half. It'll probably be at least another decade before they wind up either moving the Rays or the A's or fully expanding, something like that. And there are people that are going to wind up reusing the same gear. You know, somebody's going to show up in a Tim Raines jersey or in a Larry Walker jersey because they've been holding on to this garment, they've been holding on to this idea this whole time. So we look at the A on the hat or the tomahawk or whatever, and like these things are sacred to us, you know what I mean? That shape of the A, it's just an A. It's just an A, but it's not just
you can't
an A.
Change that A though, because if you change it, it's not the Atlanta Braves A anymore. Like there's two acceptable Atlanta Braves A's. There's the one that's on the feather uniform from 1976, which is the most beautiful uniform ever made. And then there's the current one, which, you know, Alabama tried to steal, but they have a mullet on theirs because it's Alabama, so you can always tell the difference. But you can't just, like, you couldn't come in with just a Times New Roman font A and it'd be the same. Like, it's different. Like, the Oakland A's A is different from the Atlanta Braves A, and you can tell which team it is just by looking at the way that A looks. And I think in all sports, really, but in baseball in particular, you can't really go away from stuff like that because nostalgia plays such a big role in how the sport is watched and loved. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm off base, maybe I'm just thinking too deeply because I haven't had enough sports to watch lately, but that's just how I feel.
we've all been watching baseball our entire lives. Like, I'm about to turn 38. I don't have any kids. You're about to. And I know that, like, one of the first things you're going to do is start immediately indoctrinating your child into this baseball culture. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to figure out how old does he need to be for me to take him to SunTrust or Truist Park?
I mean, you saw how hard everybody took it when they changed the name of a park that had only been in place for like 3 years, you know? So imagine trying to change the name of the actual team. But like, yeah, you're going to immediately start, you know, teaching him all of these different things. And as soon as the season starts back, you're going to plop his chair down in front of the TV and be like, this is Ronald Acuna. You don't know it yet, but you will tell stories about him for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? In the same way that we talk about guys like Chipper, you know? So.
Right. I think that's the craziest thing right now is just thinking that my son is going to look at Ronald Acuna, hopefully, if he likes baseball, which he will. He's going to look at Ronald Acuna the same way that like I look at Chipper Jones. Like, that's a wild concept.
It's crazy. It really, yeah, it's funny how the generations turn over. But like, you guys will still, you know, Acuna's young enough to where as your son is growing up and watching Acuna progress through his career, you know, you're still tapped into this. You know, you guys are going to together watch him ascend. And, you know, I remember going and seeing, I saw Van Halen with my dad from the 10th row in, let's see, this would have been 1998. So I was 16. I'd been playing guitar for like 2 years, and my dad was 48. So he'd been playing guitar for 36 years. And we're both staring at him doing all of these crazy things and, you know, the tapping and playing over the neck and doing all these funky things. And we're just getting two completely separate things out of it. You know what I mean? Because I'm looking at him going, wow, he's doing things that I've never seen literally anybody else at that time. I'd never seen anybody do anything like that before. And he's like, I've seen other people do this, but this is just different in its own special way. So in the same way that you and your son will wind up looking at Acuna, you can be like, I can appreciate what he's doing right now because I know exactly how hard what he's doing is. And your son from the time where he's like a kind of ball of goo at the beginning of his life, and then, you know, develops a personality and comes to like absorb all of these different things, then he will start to interpret it in his own way too. I mean, this is going to be really cool for you guys. And the fact that it's Acuna and Albies and you still got Pache coming and some of the prospects that are coming on the tail end of that, you know, Soroka and Fried are on the big league team now. I mean, this is like the core that your son is hopefully going to wind up growing up watching. And in the same way.
Who knows? Maybe he ends up in Mekhi Backstrom as his favorite player.
We can only hope.
That'd be fantastic. Honestly, I think we've gotten enough out of this show as we could, quite honestly. I think we've got a little bit more out of this than we thought. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this ride along with us. Unfortunately, we do have things that we have to tend to today. I still have some work to do, but I'm glad we were able to get this show out of the. I'm glad we were able to do this. There was some talk about whether how often we were going to do these shows, well, with no sports being around. But I think this was a good show. I'm enjoying this a lot. And before we go too long and start really like having this just be run on and jam packed, I think we're going to go ahead and call it a day for now. But for those of you out there, again, if you guys have anything in particular you want to hear us discuss, please. You guys are awesome and always, you know, commenting on our stuff and always throwing out ideas to us. Feel free to continue throwing out ideas. If you got something you want to talk about, for sure. If you've got a particular nostalgia like memory or something like that, feel free to send it to us. We're ready and willing to talk about pretty much whatever while this is going on. Really just want to make sure that we're here with y'all through this whole event. You guys know we're really just fans like y'all, so having to deal with this is tough for everybody. But Doc, I got to say thanks, man, for still doing the show with me. We got more off season for the unforeseeable future, but at least I got you with me to get through it.
Oh, Dylan, that's so sweet. Nah, man, you know it would be easy to just kind of pull the plug and say, you know, there's nothing to talk about, and we'll just get back with you guys. We've exhausted all of our topics, but at the same time, I got to be honest, this is cathartic, and this is hard, you know. I've been, like I said, we spent all this time in the off season just waiting to get
just
to
counting
this
down. Yeah. We spent it all just counting down to this point.
Yeah. And now it's just kind of everybody's in a holding pattern. And I got to tell you, I was not expecting, who knows if the Mississippi Sweat thing hadn't happened, who knows what we would have wound up talking about. So right.
Who knows how far this show would have gone down.
Right.
So I'm glad me being incorrect or not telling the full story led to about 45 minutes worth of content.
But, you know, and this is we will get through it. And, you know, we've got some ideas coming up for some episodes about some things that we're going to do. And we're going to get back to doing the patron episode. Or get to know a patron really soon here. So thank you everybody for being patient with us on that and during the off season. So
also keep an eye on the Patreon for those of you patrons, because there will be some other things that you guys will be seeing pretty soon that the general public will not be seeing. A little hint for you.
The Dylan Short exclusive. Keep your eyes peeled for that on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/TPS_podcast. But like you said, Dylan, I think it's probably a good time to cut things off here. Thank you so much to everybody for joining us. And, you know, we will see you right back next week right here on the Platinum Sombrero.
Thank you for being a friend. You